This morning we're starting in the book of Matthew, the genealogy of Jesus. We're going to be looking through this genealogy in sections. This morning is the first section, verses 1 through the beginning of verse 6. And I think I'll read that with just a little comment. We're not going to be staying there. We're going to be going to the book of Ruth. But I'll just begin by reading this section from Matthew. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. It's interesting to me when we open the Gospels, the writers are very intentional about saying that this is the story of Messiah, Jesus Christ. The son of David, he makes it clear that he's in the line of King David. As promised in the Old Testament, the Messiah would be of King David's line. A son of Abraham, a true Israelite. Our readings had to do with Abraham this morning and his call of God, and that all people would be blessed through him. That's a prophecy in the Old Testament, again, fulfilled in Christ. All people are blessed through Christ, as Emma was sharing with us. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Whenever you hear Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I always think he is the God of the living, not of the dead. Goes into some other characters, though. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, I'm probably not pronouncing these names right, whose mother was Tamar. Now, if you want to go through a genealogy, you could spend a lot of time in a genealogy if you take some of these names, like Tamar, and look her up in the Old Testament and get that unwholesome story about Judah and Tamar. But we're not going to get into that today. But it's fascinating that some of Jesus' ancestors, Judah particularly, was not a particularly moral person. And yet these people went into the line of Christ. Sinners were in the line of Christ. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. We're going to be looking at Boaz today, but Rahab, again, is interesting. They translate it in the book of Joshua that Rahab was a prostitute, and Boaz's mother, but she really saved the people of Israel when, or she warned the spies, hid the spies of Israel in her house. So she might have been an innkeeper. She might not have been a prostitute. Hard to say. But again, maybe not such a wholesome person, but someone who did a righteous thing by protecting God's people turned out to be the mother of our key person today that we'll be looking at as a redeemer. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. Now, we're starting with this. We'll be ending with this, but we'll find it in another place. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. We're going to see a lot of connection in the Old Testament today with the New Testament and the line of Christ. I'm going to be doing something different. I've been really having a good time this week reading and rereading the book of Ruth. And I highly recommend, just if you want to sit down and read a meaningful story, a fun story, a love story, a human story, Ruth is just packed. It starts with tragedy. It ends with redemption. It's packed with human love and devotion to God. So I just want to set back and do my best to be a storyteller this morning, because can't read the whole thing now, but do read it yourselves. It's just a fun story to read and very meaningful. Starts out in the time of the judges. The judges followed the Israelites coming into the land of Cana, taking over the land of Cana, but it was a very unsettled time. It was a time when there were enemies about them. The land wasn't secured. The law, they received the law from Moses, and the people of Israel got the law, and it was like they almost lost the law as soon as they had it. But there are little pockets of time when there's groups of people that really follow the law of Moses. And I think you'll find that in this family, in this situation, we have people who are loyal to the law in many ways. But it starts out with tragedy. The first tragedy is there's a time of famine in the land of Ephrathah, Bethlehem. We heard about that. Jesus is from Ephrathah, Bethlehem. We learn about that from the Magi when that story is told in the Christmas stories, right? This is the nation, this is the area of Judah where Jesus' ancestors are from. There was a family, Elimelech. Got all these names I got to try to say, right? And his two sons and his wife Naomi, and they were in trouble. There was a famine in the land. They were hungry. Their land wasn't producing crop, probably because of a lack of rain. They ran out of all the resources that they had, and in desperation, they went to another land. You might remember that Joseph and his brothers and Israel's family had to go to Egypt because of a famine. So people would periodically have to relocate just looking for food in desperation. Chances are they'd used up all their resources. Now, Elimelech was a landowner. He had a place and a station in Bethlehem, in Judah. But they had to leave. And when they left, probably all their resources were gone. They had nothing. So they were destitute. They went to the land of Moab, which is interesting because very often that was a land of enemies of Israel. But this was a time when there must have been peace and acceptance of Elimelech and his family there. But they get there. Naomi, Elimelech, the two sons, and more tragedy hits. They went from famine. They came there. The husband died, Elimelech. Her two sons died. They'd been married before they died, but they died, and neither of the sons had children. And so the story is that Ruth is left there with her two daughters-in-law. You probably know that story. The first daughter-in-law loved Naomi, but Naomi said, "You need to go back to your home." And home is a really interesting concept in the book of Luke. Go back to your home. She said it to Ruth and her other sister-in-law and the daughter-in-law of Naomi. And the one went home, but Ruth, and this is one of the famous passages, and I will stop and read some of the scriptures. Ruth loved Naomi. Ruth was faithful to Naomi, and more than that. Okay, so this is one of the more famous passages from the book of Ruth, the most probably, and one that is heard a lot. It's chapter 1, verse 16. Ruth speaking to Naomi. "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." Now, there is two things to keep in mind here. There's one, this incredible family love and devotion, and two, there's this deep faithfulness to family relationship, and Ruth evidently was attracted to Naomi and her family to a large extent because she was attracted to the God of Israel. She wanted to adopt Naomi. She wanted to stay with Naomi. She wanted to adopt Naomi's people and Naomi's God. Verse 17, "Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me ever so severely, if anything but death separates you from me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So, the two women, alone, and again, to understand that this is tenuous, this is kind of dangerous. The two women were traveling alone from Moab, which is south and east of Israel, probably about over 100 miles anyway, 150 miles maybe, came up back to the land of Judah. They're traveling alone. That's kind of dangerous, but they made it. They got back to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the people recognized Naomi and said, "God has brought you back." And they looked at her and they said, "Naomi, it's good to see you." And she said, "Don't call me Naomi anymore, because Naomi means pleasant. No, call me Mara. Mara, because Mara means bitter. That's my new name, because I was away for 10 years and I started out with a husband and sons and I've came back with nothing. I do have my daughter-in-law, but that's it. And I'm experiencing a very bitter and sad and tragic life." So Naomi's bitter. Now, another aspect of the book of Boaz, or the book of Ruth, is that it really affirms the law. This is a time, like I said, some of the Israelites, just almost as soon as they got into the promised land, sort of threw away the law. But in this little pocket, it seems like there was a great awareness of the law and what the law could do for people, to benefit people. And that has to do with gleaning. You may remember as you read the Old Testament that the Israelites, when they harvested from their fields, they were supposed to leave a little left over. When you go over a harvest field, you always have leftover crop. You can't get every seed. You can't get every little stalk. So there would be leftovers in the field, and the Israelites were commanded to leave those because the poor would need them, and the person who was from another place would need them, the immigrant. Those people who had no means for themselves could go and follow the harvesters and pick up and find provision for themselves. So the law of Moses has its social welfare system of gleaning. And so Naomi asked her to go out. Ruth went out and did the gleaning, went to the field. And the kind of remarkable and providential thing was that she went to the field of Boaz, who turns out to be a relative, and a close relative of Elimelech. So you have a family here, and so she went out to glean, and Boaz, again, comes out to the fields to greet his workers, and Boaz is obviously a righteous man because he comes out, he looks at the workers in the field, and he says to them, "The Lord be with you." So he has an appreciation for his workers, and they call back, "The Lord bless you." So you have this man, Boaz, come into the picture, a relative of Naomi's family, and he comes into the picture, and he notices Ruth. Now, this is where it gets into kind of a nice story, I think, because they're all human. And I have a feeling Ruth was an attractive young woman. And he noticed her gleaning there, and he wanted to know who she is. You know, she caught his eye. And the foreman replied that, well, she's the daughter-in-law of Naomi. And he realized that Naomi was his relative. And he decided he's going to take care of Ruth. He told her not to go to any other man's field, to stay and glean here. And he provided provision for her and her mother and her mother-in-law, Naomi, beyond what just the gleanings were. He gave their cooked, roasted grain, had her share at his meal with the other workers, and he provided for her and sent her home, not just with the gleanings, but also with roasted grain, ready-to-eat meal for Naomi. So she gets back to Naomi, and Naomi's just like, this is incredible. She came back and she had gleaned, because Boaz had commanded his field workers to make sure they leave stuff for Ruth. She had, I think it was 22 liters, roughly, of grain in her satchel that she brought back, which is, you know, like 11 2-liter bottles full of grain. If you think about how much she had a big load she brought back. And Naomi was amazed and wondered who had provided this. And it turned out to be Boaz, the relative. And in that culture, there was this idea that a relative could redeem you, could take care of you. It's called a kinsman redeemer. And if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 25, I will turn there real quick. And it's interesting because in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 5, it says, "If brothers are living together and one of them dies without a son, his widow must not marry outside the family. Her husband's brother shall take her and marry her and fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to her. The first son she bears shall carry on the name of the dead brother so that his name will not be blotted out from Israel." So there's a family, a brother's married, he dies, the other brother is required to take that wife and marry her, and her first offspring will actually carry on the name of the brother who died. And not only that, but the inheritance of that brother would go to that firstborn son. So there's this, again, this provision of taking care of someone who has a tragic loss, an early death of a husband, and a way that the inheritance would be continued to the family and not lost. It was a way of redemption. The land, the home, was very important to the people of Israel, and this statute was placed there so that families would not lose their place or their land or their possibility of earning a living. It was very important to people in that time and culture. And Naomi realized, you went to Boaz, and he's potentially a kinsman redeemer of ours. Evidently, as the law was interpreted, even back at this time, that statute in Deuteronomy would and could be expanded to extended family. So there wouldn't have to be a brother directly, but a close relative, maybe a cousin or someone, could come and do that same service to take on the widow and bring her, you know, so that she has a place and she has another child and an heir so that the family would not lose its land. Okay, getting a little complicated here maybe. So Boaz comes in and sees this person. He knows now that she's a relative, and Naomi knows that Boaz is a relative, and there's potential, really, for salvation here, for redemption. These are images from the book of Ruth. You get to chapter 3, and some people think that Ruth's behavior and Naomi's suggestions aren't really wholesome when you get to chapter 3. Because Ruth goes in a little while later when the harvest is coming to a close. Boaz has been working. He's resting. He's gone to sleep after being well fed and drank, and he's in his place. They evidently work near the harvest field, and he's gone to bed, and Naomi tells Ruth to go lay at his feet, uncover his feet, and lay at the foot of his bed or his pallet where he's sleeping, and he will tell you what to do. Now, this sounds unwholesome to us, but this was a way that Naomi was setting forth a plea for help through Ruth, that she might be redeemed, that Boaz might take Ruth as a wife and fulfill the obligation that was in Deuteronomy, that they'd be redeemed, that the land would be redeemed, and there would be, you know, they'd be taken care of. And it's interesting. If you look at chapter 3, verse 11, Boaz, when he wakes up, and he wakes up startled when he finds this woman at his feet, and he speaks to her, talks of Ruth in this way that's very wholesome. Ruth is there at his feet. She said why she's there, because he's a kinsman. And he says, "The Lord bless you, my daughter," verse 10, chapter 3. "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after younger men, whether rich or poor." Now, he's looking at Ruth, and again, I think this is another clue that Ruth was probably attractive and would have had opportunities, right? What else could it mean? "You haven't run after the younger men, whether rich or poor, and now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you what you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character." Now, this is all according to the law. This is all open and above board. "You are of noble character. Although it is true that I am near of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it." So she's presented herself for mercy, for redemption, for her husband's sake, for Naomi's sake, that they wouldn't lose their place in the land. And Boaz respects this. So there's this high level of respect for the law and this desire, fulfillment of the law. And I think Boaz probably was falling in love with Ruth as well. So there's a lot of just, it's just a nice story. Verse 18 at the bottom, I just like what she says. "Then Naomi said," Ruth went back to Naomi, told her the story. "Everything's working out pretty good. We're going to be redeemed." "Then Naomi said, 'My daughter, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today.'" So there is a vibe going on that they knew that things were good, that Boaz had an interest in working this out. But there was an obstacle in the way. There was another kinsman, a closer relative. And Boaz had to check with this kinsman. And he goes, he sets up the next day in the morning. He goes to the city gates. As that other relative comes by, he stops him and says, "Look, I got to tell you about what's going on. The property of Elimelech is available. It's for sale. We can redeem it from his family." And the other relative says, "Oh, good. I'll take it. I'll buy the land." So there was potential benefit for this relative to take the land, to have expand his holdings. But then Boaz says, But you also have to marry Ruth. And then Ruth's firstborn son, the child that he bears, will be inheritor of this land. It will be reverted back. It will be redeemed. This will allow Elimelech's line to go on. I hope you're catching all of this. So this guy's thinking and saying, wait a minute, if I take this land, I've got my own family, I've got my own holdings, and this is going to interfere with my passing on everything I have to my kids. And it'll also take resources to invest and start to redevelop the land. Because if you haven't worked a farm in a long time, you can't just start. You need to have laborers, you need to have seed, you need to have people who lined up to do the harvest, because you got nothing until the harvest comes in. So you just can't start a farm. If you're thinking about farming, keep that in mind. There were a lot of debtors. There were a lot of debtors who were farmers. And if that harvest doesn't come, you sink deeper. So there's risk involved in all of that. Boaz had the resources to do it. This other guy had the resources to do it. Boaz was willing, though, to provide and care and redeem Naomi's family, Elimelech's family, and pass it on to his descendants, all in obedience to the law. And I think he also got a wife that he loved. So through this story of obedience and love and redemption, we come bound to a genealogy again. If you look at the close of the book of Ruth, everything works out for Boaz. The elders approve. In fact, there's a wonderful blessing at the end of Ruth when everything works out. Ruth and Naomi have been redeemed. The land has been redeemed. They're married. And the elders of the town approve of all this. It says in verse 11 of chapter 4, then the elders and all those at the gate said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah. Notice the connection with the heritage in Israel, who together built up the house of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. So you see now we're beginning to fit this back into genealogy, back into the line that we read about in Matthew chapter 1. And verse 13, I'll read the rest. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, praise to the Lord who has this day not left you without a kinsman redeemer. You've been redeemed. Your family name is redeemed. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. So it's blessing there to Naomi. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and cared for him. The woman living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed, and he was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Kind of back where we started. Hopefully, I went through that story in a way that you could follow. I'm going fast, and there's a lot of details in there. Like I said, maybe I've given you a taste to read the book for yourself, because it's just a sweet, powerful story. But it's about love and faithfulness. Ruth to Naomi, first of all. She adopted Naomi. She could have gone back to her own home and her own people, but she wanted her home to be with Naomi, with Naomi's people, and with Naomi's God. So there's great faithfulness and love there, family love. And then they turned, as they were in desperation, to the system of the law, where redemption was possible, where your social welfare would be taken care of if your relative would fulfill his obligations. And Boaz did, and he redeemed the family of Elimelech. That's a hard one to pronounce. Naomi's family. And through that, a child was born. This obedience to the law, this redemption. It was redemption of land and home and family and offspring. So all of this was under the law and fulfilled the law, and it led to a descendant in the line of Jesus Christ. So you have these examples in this genealogy of love for family, love for God, redemption, and then ultimately a son who would be the grandfather of King David, whose line Jesus Christ came. So, redemption in the Old Testament. The scripture says, Jesus says, you diligently studied the scriptures, thinking in them you will find eternal life, but those scriptures testify about me. Even a genealogy, even pictures like this of a man like Boaz who fulfills this redeeming process, points us to the work of God, the love of God, the sacrifice of God, because Boaz was willing to put his estate and his family and bring these others in and to share. Right? To share his wealth and his prosperity with another who was broken and in need. We talked a lot about redemption today, and that's what this table is about. Scripture says the wages of sin is death. There was a wage that had to be paid for the land and the place for Naomi and her family. A wage had to be paid, a price had to be paid for the land. And in our relationship with Christ, there is a price that has to be paid for our sin. The wage of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So Boaz's act of redemption points us to the ultimate act of redemption we find in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these stories of the Old Testament, and we ask that as we look through the Hebrew Scriptures, seeking to know you better, that our understanding, Jesus, of who you are would become more clear. There's so much in the Scripture, so much for us to try to comprehend. But Lord, I trust that that love, that concern, that was demonstrated towards Naomi and Ruth that Boaz had in his heart. I pray, God, that we would get a sense that you love us and care for us and want us to be in your family, just as Boaz wanted Ruth and Naomi to be fully embraced in his family. That love, that willingness to sacrifice, we are so grateful that Jesus was willing not to give over money or time or prosperity, but life itself. On our behalf. We praise you in his name. Amen.